Get into a real estate of mind right here with Think Realty Radio, hosted by Abhi Golhar. Breaking down the latest market news, tips, and strategies, Abhi Golhar is nationally recognized for his real estate expertise. It's only on Think Realty Radio, and it starts right now.
Think Realty Nation, it's our host, Abhi Golhar. Welcome to Think Realty Radio. Super excited to be here today, talking about real estate investing. Now, many of you listening are business owners. You're that high-flying next billionaire entrepreneur. And you're thinking, well, geez, you know, I'm doing well. I'm uber successful. And, you know, I want my money to work just as hard as me, if not harder. Well, on Think Realty Radio, we have the privilege of interviewing some amazing people, some folks that have some pretty unique ideas on what you can do with capital. And of course, as long as you understand your investing personality, it makes sense to start engaging yourself in some of these ideas and next level strategies on how your money can work harder than you do. So we got in touch with Scott Lewis from Spartan Investment Group, and we asked him to join us on the show today to talk a little bit about what a syndication is versus, say, single-family rentals versus, say, operating a deal yourself. Or maybe, you know, you've seen those TV shows, the ones that flip property in one day. That's right, you know what I'm talking about. You're buying a house at 9 a.m., you have it rehabbed by 3 and sold by 6, and during the commercial break, you've made $50,000 in net profit. Oh, if it were only that easy. So I'm excited to talk to Scott Lewis, and let's go ahead and bring him on the air. Scott, welcome to the show.
Abhi, thank you very much for having me.
You got it. Tell us a little bit about Spartan Investment Group, who you are and what you do, and the fact that you did not go to Michigan State would, like, make my day.
Ah, well, unfortunately, there is some correlation between the Spartan in Spartan Investment Group and the Spartan in Michigan State Spartan.
Oh, crap.
That the co-founders were both from Michigan State originally. Yeah. We've had some swap out since then, but it was actually funny. Our original logo, I'm actually looking at it on my wall. It's actually the Spartan helmet, and our logos were green and white. And then an attorney came along and like, are you guys planning to get any bigger? We're like, well, yeah, of course. He's like, well, then you're going to get sued. So you really need to go back to the drawing board and not use their logo and everything. So we're like, okay, all right, sorry. So we actually went through and changed, and that's and we're still Spartan Investment Group because we have ties to Michigan State, but our logo is very different now. So
nice.
What we do at Spartan is we are at heart real estate developers, and we do our development through private placement offerings, which we'll talk about a little bit through the syndication process. But what we do is we do everything from developing raw land or acquiring value add deals that need a little bit of loving. There's usually an expansion or value add component to each one of those deals. And we fund them using private equity that we do through syndications and then debt through your normal debt partners. And then we operate them as well. And that's what makes us a little bit unique. And it's what I'll talk about a little bit later in the show.
Awesome. So from an investor's perspective, somebody that's listening and trying to kind of figure out what syndication is, can you give me like a quick review of that in your words? And then we'll get to some of the strategies that you use for Spartan.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a super funny story. When we did our first syndication, we had no idea what we were doing. And my partner, Ryan, was like, hey, man, I think we're a syndicate. I'm like, what, a crime family? Like, I remember this from like Grand Theft Auto. I'm like, what, what are you talking about? He goes, no, man, I think we got to do this like private placement memorandum and all this other stuff. I think we're doing a syndication. I'm like, dude, a syndication? That's like Guido from the Mafia Don like crime family. Yes, that is a syndication. That is true. What a syndication really is just a group of folks that are really trying to accomplish something in through financial means. There's syndication. We hear a lot about it in real estate, but movies are syndicated. So when you see all these executive producers, those are usually the sponsors of the movie. And a lot of times there's individual investors that put money to put, like, you know, Fast and the Furious 19 together, and they're hoping to make a return on that investment. And that's a syndication. There's syndications to put together a dog grooming service. It's whatever. Technically, some of the venture capital that goes into putting together a tech company is a syndication. So you see it everywhere. It's just not necessarily called that.
Gotcha. So it's a group of folks that are potentially putting capital together in the hopes of A, getting a return, and then, of course, working with an operator such as yourselves to get some type of return. Now, in terms of what Spartan does, what are some of the strategies that y'all use to really generate returns and, like, find these opportunities?
Yeah, great questions. So one of the things that we really look at is we look at raw land development and value add focus. Spartan, we're a smaller operator, so we can't go toe-to-toe with the Blackstones and the public storage. We'll talk a little bit about storage later. That's what we look for, is self-storage. We can't go toe-to-toe with those guys because their capital's too cheap, their teams are too big. Mm-hmm. So they're going after really your core and your core plus, or your class A and class B for the listeners that are in the multifamily space. For us, we go after development and value add. Now, there's a lot of big companies doing development and value add deals. There's just a little bit more blue ocean market in those different asset classes. And that's really kind of how we produce the returns that we do. Now, they're risk adjusted returns, development plays and value add plays. There's a lot of risk there, especially on the development side of the house. And there's a lot of reward. Mm. One of the key strategies for us is we are a data-driven company. We spend about $10,000 to $15,000 a year on data. And for a group of seven of us at our stage, that's a lot of money for us to be spending on data. And it's because it drives every decision that we do. Yep. There's no gut feelings for us. If the data isn't there, we don't do it. And we actually have a director of business intelligence on our group that uses that data to then drive intelligence into information. And I say that because she's actually comes from us, from Special Operations Command, and she used to hunt terrorists through financial transactions. So she's got some pretty cool skill sets that we then use to find the best deals out there so that we could provide solid returns to all of our investors.
That's pretty neat. I do want to ask you about some of that data, what you look at, what maybe indicators or factors you look at, and how you analyze it. Because for a lot of folks listening too, they're running their businesses super successfully, and they're like, well, geez, I don't have the time. Right? I don't have the time to look through millions of data sets and then find, like, two or three things that matter, and then, of course, go a hunt for deals. How do you do all that? You got about a minute before we go to break.
No problem. So what we have a team of seven, so we're not, you know, I'm not an island unto myself.
Right.
And we just really prioritized it. I would ask the question to the listeners that say that I don't have time to look at data. I would ask, how do you not have time? Mm. Because that data really mitigates risk. And it does take a lot of time. We spend a lot of time looking at a bunch of different data sets. However, that ensures that we only find the deals that we've mitigated a ton of risk. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, Avi, but I've been in a bad deal before, and that takes a lot of time, and it's a lot of negative energy on the data side. And putting in that work up front, you can really mitigate the probability to the best of your ability to go into a bad deal, which saves a ton of time.
That's right. We got to go to break. More with Scott from Spartan, Scott Lewis from Spartan Investment Group. When we come back, you know, we talk about data. And we talk about how important it is. But how do you really sit down? What factors do you look at? What analysis do you run to find the right deals or even understand what the operators you're investing in look at? That's what's coming up next on Think Realty Radio. Don't go anywhere.
We'll be right back with more Think Realty Radio with Avi Golhar after these messages.
Don't miss the Real Estate Note event of the year. The Paper Source Note Symposium is 3 days of learning and networking with the most experienced note investors on the planet. Discover how to buy non-performing and other real estate notes. Meet keynote speaker Eddie Wilson, president of Think Realty Radio, at the Paper Source Note Symposium, April 11th through the 13th in Las Vegas. Visit papersourceseminars.com right now and enter the discount code ThinkRealty for $50 off your ticket. That's papersourceseminars.com.
Would you like to know the easiest way to create wealth and passive income with real estate? Now you can access the best deals without the stress or hassle of having to find, renovate, or manage them. Narada Real Estate Investments saves you time by providing you with professionally managed income properties in the best U.S. markets. Learn more at PassiveRealEstateGuide.com and download your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing. Simply visit PassiveRealEstateGuide.com.
Hi, Kevin Ortner here, CEO of Renters Warehouse. I'm guessing that many of you might be considering a move. Maybe you need to relocate, maybe you're combining households, or maybe you already own investment property. Whether you have one home or a whole portfolio, my expert team at Renters Warehouse can help you perfectly price your property and rent it out fast, easy, and worry-free in just 17 days on average. For one low flat monthly fee, our professional landlords will manage your property 24/7. We collect the rent, we handle maintenance requests, inspections, all that regulatory red tape, and we'll even warranty our tenants for up to 18 months. That means if your tenant doesn't stay for any reason, Renters Warehouse will replace them for free. There's no upfront fees, no binding contracts, and you can cancel at any time. Go to renterswarehouse.com right now to book a free home rental price analysis and see what your home will rent for today. A professional landlord will visit your property and show you personally how to rent your home fast and for top dollar.
Find out how much your home.
We're back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Abhi Golhar.
Think Realty Nation, it's Abhi Golhar. We're back to Think Realty Radio. My guest today is Scott Lewis from Spartan Investment Group, and I will say my arch nemesis. So I'm a Wolverine. I went to the University of Michigan. He went to Michigan State University. I have a brother that went to Michigan State University, and I'll tell you, he's pretty much adopted. So Scott and I are good friends from that accord. That being said, I'm really, though, impressed so far with the conversation and, of course, what Spartan has to offer investors from around the country and, of course, around the world in terms of syndication. That's exactly what this show today is dedicated toward. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about what Spartan does, what makes Spartan a little different than most syndicators and most companies looking at raising capital, and of course some of the strategies that Spartan uses to uncover opportunities. In that conversation, Scott mentioned that they spend a lot of money every single year, $10,000 to $15,000 every single year on data. Okay, like that's a lot of money on data. And if you're a business owner, entrepreneur listening to the show and you're like, well, geez, you know, how do I like analyze this data? What factors do I look at? I don't even know where to start. Scott, can you break some of that down for me?
Absolutely. And I'll caveat that 10 to 15K is a lot for us. There's probably some listeners that work at some of the bigger brokerage houses and they probably spend that in a month. But for a smaller group that operates in our space, it is quite a bit. And really, I'll have to apologize to the listeners. I don't know the exact data sets that we use. Our director of business intelligence controls that. I do know that one of the key things that she leverages is opendata.gov. It was basically an initiative that the federal government put in that not forces, but highly encourages local jurisdictions to make their as much data available as possible. And that's through APIs, and I have absolutely no idea what that stands for.
Me neither.
But I think it's somewhere along the lines of like application plugin, but I probably just made a complete fool of myself. But that's okay. It's kind of a daily thing for me.
Got it.
But really, like opendata.gov is a huge initiative that we use, and to find jurisdictional data. That's the information on the particular jurisdiction that we're looking for. And some are good, some are bad, as far as their level of sophistication with their APIs and the data sets that are available. Another thing that we use highly is census data. You know, no matter what you're doing, what asset class, it doesn't matter if it's storage, it doesn't matter if it's poodle care, it doesn't matter if it's multifamily or single family residence, it doesn't matter. You have to understand your population, because it's population that drives everything. And using just basic census data to understand what's happening in your market fundamentals from a population and population standpoint, it's hugely important. And I would say the other place to look for a bunch of data, and whether it's through opendata.gov and it's a nice clean data set, or it's a spreadsheet that's being sent to you, is your Chamber of Commerce, to really kind of understand the economic conditions of that market. Is the market trying to grow? Is it shrinking? What employers are coming there? How many jobs are added? And a lot of that can be found through the Chamber of Commerce, and either on the website if it's a sophisticated jurisdiction, or just pick up the phone and call them. Most of those guys, nobody ever talks to them. They're stuck in a cubicle in the back. So when you step in there and you're like, hey, I'd like to talk to you, there's like 10 of them that come out of there. It doesn't even matter the size. But I'm serious. We've been swarmed. They're like, come on back. You want a Coke? You want to sit down? Let's talk. Those guys never get talked to. So if you're the person that comes in there and asks them a bunch of questions, then they'll spend all day with you. And the amount of information that you can find in 2 hours sitting down or digging around their websites is absolutely amazing.
So you have to be data driven, right? Like, if you're not paying attention, especially in, say, multifamily space, there's so many things. Like, there's so many things that could go wrong. You really need to understand how to mitigate that risk, how to lessen that risk, decrease that risk by analyzing data. So let's go back to the basics here. Spartan Investment Group is a syndicator, right? Do you also operate your deals? Do you just find deals and move money into them by identifying the right investors? What's generally your model?
Yeah, so we are completely vertically integrated. We have what we call internally a 3F operating model. We find deals, we fund them, and then we finish them. And we say finish because it's either, if it's a development deal, then it's a project and it has a finite end date. If it's not, if it's a value add deal, which has a project component to it, because we're usually always expanding, then the project has a finite end date, but then we operate it. So we really are vertically aligned all the way from the identification of potential deals through the operating and then ultimately the disposition. Now, the disposition, we do use brokers, so we're not completely aligned in that regards. Although two of our folks do have their licenses, and we are considering that in the future.
Gotcha. So if I'm an investor, what do I need to know? What should I be looking for in an operator? How do I evaluate one?
Great question. And a lot of investors, they get wrapped around the deal. They're chasing returns. They're worried about the financials. I personally invest in other syndicators. So I have 401k money that I cannot place in my own deals. So I have to go out and I have to vet other syndicators. And when you're a syndicator and you're trying to vet other ones, you're looking for any little thing to walk away from.
Right.
And I almost never care about the deal. I could care less.
Right.
I don't care what the returns are. I don't care what the financials look like, because they're projections at best. So I would say to the listeners that are looking to invest in a syndication, don't worry about the deal at first. Of course, you've got to come back to it and you have to understand the financials. But really, look at the sponsor. Look at who they are. Are they a team that you can back? Do they have solid experience? And age doesn't imply experience. You can be like older and doing things wrong for a long time. That doesn't necessarily equate. Age does not necessarily equate to good experience. What backgrounds do they have? What jobs have they held before? What certification, what education do they do? Do you get a good feeling when you talk to them? What are their communication strategies? And when ultimately, do you feel that this person has the integrity to do the right thing when things go wrong? Because there's only one thing guaranteed in any real estate deal, is that something will go wrong.
Yes.
And you want to make sure that you've invested with a sponsor or syndicator that you know will choose the hard right over the easy wrong.
So you said a word that maybe some of our listeners are not familiar with, and that word is sponsor. Help me define what a sponsor is.
Absolutely. A sponsor is synonymous with syndicator, or in another synonym is promoter. You'll hear these words used interchangeably. The one caveat I will say is there are folks that are syndicating capital that aren't necessarily a sponsor for the deal. So while they can be synonyms, they're not always. So for instance, I am both a syndicator and a sponsor because I am the one that's promoting the deal. So it kind of gets used interchangeably, and it's a little bit hard to differentiate because you'll hear people use them in a little bit different context. But in my context, I'm going to continue to use sponsor instead of syndicator because that's really what we are. We syndicate capital for our own deals that we're sponsoring.
Got it. So we got to go to break. I do want to ask the question how investors, A, can get involved, but then why should investors look at investing in with a syndicator, or in this case, a sponsor, versus, say, operating their own deal? So really big question when we come back from break. Get in touch with Scott. His email, scott@spartan-investors.com. Again, scott@spartan-investors.com. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more Think Realty Radio with Abhi Golhar after these messages.
Where are successful investors turning for the latest news, trends, and insights in real estate? Think Realty Magazine. Sign up for your investor-level membership at thinkrealty.com today to start receiving Think Realty Magazine delivered to your door and inbox every month. Boost your competitive advantage with news from the nation's leading investors, market updates, the hottest investment strategies, and more. Take the next step toward building more wealth. Sign up today at thinkrealty.com.
National Real Estate Insurance Group is the industry leader in providing coverage customized for investors. We insure occupied, vacant, and renovation properties across all 50 states, can combine all properties on one schedule, and offer convenient pay-as-you-go monthly billing. Visit NREIG.com today for your free custom proposal. That's National Real Estate Insurance Group at NREIG.com or call 888-741-8454, 888-741-8454.
Savvy investors make use of smart savings. Think Realty Radio listeners, you have the opportunity to save smart with Sherwin-Williams Paint. Sign up for your free Think Realty membership now and activate discounts to save up to 50% off of select Sherwin-Williams Paint. Rehabbers, investors, property managers, this is your opportunity to save big for your next project. Start saving up to 50% now. Go to thinkrealty.com/paint and then click discounts.
Need a fast, reliable decision-making tool in today's real estate landscape? RentFacts combines real estate expertise and data to deliver decision-making tools for real estate pros. Investors, lenders, or property managers, RentFacts can determine rents and reliability of income for specific neighborhoods, forecast gross and net income in seconds. Find out how RentFacts can predict and compare how demographics, economics, crime, and other location factors affect the stability of your rental with a risk score. Go to RentFactsPro.com. RentFactsPro.com.
We're back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Abhi Golhar.
All right, Think Realty Nation, it's Abhi Golhar. We're back. My guest today is Scott Lewis from Spartan Investment Group. And Scott, where are you guys located?
Say again?
Where are you guys located? Where in the world is Scott Lewis?
So Scott Lewis and four other of our teammates are located in Denver, Colorado.
Oh, okay.
We also have two of our teammates that are located in Seattle, Washington.
Awesome. So I was just asking, because if you said you were located in East Lansing and you had the green and white colors in your logo and you had the Spartan logo, I would have been like, wow, you're definitely asking for it, which I think would have been the best thing ever. That would have been an awesome story. I made that mistake once too. So we've been talking about syndication, and a lot of our listeners are now kind of wondering, like, hey, you know, why should I invest in a syndication, right, versus, say, doing a deal myself or buying a single-family rental or maybe buying a triplex or a quad or a duplex or a smaller multifamily? What do you say to these investors?
So I would first have the investor ask the question, what is your time worth? If you're doing the deal yourself, and it's a great way to do it, then it's going to take a lot of time. Yep. It's not passive. It's an active endeavor, no matter what you're doing. Whether you're managing a multifamily project, if you're doing it yourself, you may make the argument that, well, I've got a property manager, until they quit, or you find out that they've been doing something nefarious and you have to fire them, and then you have to go and figure this out. When you invest in a syndication, then you are completely passive. Your money goes to work for you while you're doing something else. I'll tell a quick story. I was at a self-storage mastermind, and there were a couple of really awesome folks there that I got to know very well. And they thought they were going to come in and they were going to do these deals. They were going to sponsor them. Well, they're really squared away people. They have their own business. One of them is a medical professional. So they are very busy people. And what they walked away from is they're like, there's no way we're going to do this. So they turned to me and they're like, all right, when's your next deal coming? And they actually just invested with us, because they're like, well, what are the returns? And the returns are this. So they're like, well, we can go and we can try to do this ourselves and we can make this, but it's going to take a lot of time. So it really just depends. If you have a day job and you're trying to buy, say, a single family home, you can almost do the same returns on the same amount of money. The minimum investment that we have, and as well as a lot of other sponsors, is $50,000.
Okay.
So if you're looking at it and you're trying to buy a rental property in most places in the country, it's a 25% down payment, and then you get a loan for the rest. Mm-hmm. Well, that's $50,000. And then you make some rent, but that rent could go away overnight if a water heater breaks. Mm-hmm. And you get some appreciation, and then you can make some decent money. Or you can take that $50,000 and you can buy into a syndication in which you own, the way that we do it, we do single asset, so that you own a piece of a company that owns that asset. It produces returns. You will win through appreciation if we've done our homework correctly, and you get returns along the way while you're sleeping, because I'm out there doing the work for you. So it's the true putting your money to work while you go do something else.
And as a business owner, that's exactly what you need to be doing, right? Like, it far too many times I get emails asking, well, hey, should I quit my full-time job and become a wholesaler or go invest in real estate? And no, bad idea, right? Because your income is your wealth driver. That's what's going to get you from point A to point B to point C and then to point Z exponentially quicker than, say, quitting your job. Now, all of a sudden, you have no income stream and you have to go find the income stream just to make back what you could have been earning already. So making your money work hard for you can't happen if you don't have money. And that's a major challenge then for a lot of folks that will say, well, I just want to go and invest in multifamily or like Spartan Investment Group, go invest in self-storage. So let's talk about self-storage. How did you land on self-storage instead of, say, your, I don't know, like a pool of 500 single-family homes or large multifamily?
Yeah, so kind of a funny story. We were residential guys. We did some house flipping to get started, and then we moved into bigger condo conversions. And the residential retail space just wasn't really for us. We're not, I got to be honest, I could care less what color a kitchen is.
Right.
And we didn't have the team or the stomach to really want to go through that. So we made a decision in October 2016 that we were going to move away from residential. So one of the things we did, I'm a military member, and there's something called the military decision-making process. And it's a structured decision-making framework that allows you to analyze, you know, a bunch of different things in a relatively complex environment. So there's a couple members of our team that also understand that. They actually all do now. But at that time, there was a couple members of the team that understood that methodology. So we looked through multiple different asset classes. And one of the key things that you do before you even start is you develop what are called evaluation criteria. Mm-hmm. And the evaluation criteria that we built was ease of management, low maintenance, and fast rent recapture. And rent recapture meaning eviction. And when we analyzed the different asset classes, because my partner Ryan really wanted to do multifamily, mm-hmm. and I hate dealing with people. So I wanted nothing to do with multifamily. I didn't necessarily know I wanted self-storage. It was something that was interesting to me, but I certainly knew that I didn't want to do anything that involved a residence for a human being. So we looked at a bunch of different asset classes, about 10 different asset classes. And when we came out of the evaluation, self-storage fell to the bottom, hands down, had some of the lowest maintenance. The triple net guys may be able to argue with me that they have lower maintenance on their triple net leases for office buildings than I do for self-storage. But we could have a lively debate on that one.
Yeah.
Very quick rent recapture. It takes me about 60 days if somebody doesn't pay me to auction off their, like, whatever they have in the storage and then grab whatever past due rent I can. And then it's just really easy to manage. We have a facility that there's nobody there. We manage it 100% remotely. Nobody's even at the facility. So those were really what drove us to self-storage, in addition to being a pretty stable asset class through the Great Recession. It was actually the one with the lowest foreclosure rate of any commercial assets.
Gotcha. So from a listener's perspective, right? So from somebody listening to this, what is the one gold nugget as we kind of go into break here? What's the one gold nugget that I can really pull away and say, okay, this makes sense. How do I get involved?
So with self-storage, no matter what's going on in the economy, people need storage. And it's not just people storing grandma's old junk. It could be businesses that are expanding or contracting, and it could be folks that are going through a divorce or they're going through a marriage. It could be college students moving to East Lansing, Michigan, because they're going to the best university in Michigan, and they need a place to put their stuff. So there's so many different needs for storage, and whether it's an up market or a down market, people still have a need for storage.
All right, I'll take that jab. I've been jabbing you a little bit all show, so I'll take it. Well said, by the way, Scott. Nicely done. All right, we got to go to break. Get in touch with Scott, his team. Scott, your email is scott@spartan-investors.com, and that's the domain name as well, spartan-investors.com. Again, Scott's email, scott@spartan-investors.com. Have questions for me, go to Think Realty Radio. .com as soon as I, you know, finish stumbling over my words here. But we also have a magazine. It's called Think Realty Magazine. Read it, learn from it, ask questions, get them answered, invest in real estate, make money, and build generational wealth. That's what we're talking about on Think Realty Radio when we come back.
We'll be right back with more Think Realty Radio with Avi Golhar after these messages.
Real estate notes give you immediate cash flow without tenants, repairs, or property taxes. With PaperSourceOnline.com, you buy a note, you become the banker, you decide how much interest you'll earn, and bankers never get phone calls from tenants. How do you get started? Take the free e-course by Bill Mancaro of The Paper Source. Bill's been buying notes for over 30 years. Bill has the heart of a teacher and wants you to succeed. Sign up for Bill's free e-course now at PaperSourceOnline.com. That's PaperSourceOnline.com.
Time, wealth, purpose. Three things you'll gain on your real estate investment journey with Think Realty. If you want to get serious about real estate investing, you can't miss the next Think Realty event close to you. Think Realty events are packed with local and national experts for you to network with and grow your business. We have four events lined up for 2019, so register today. Text RADIO to 96270 to find the next Think Realty event near you, or visit thinkrealty.com.
You have to play the percentages when you invest in real estate. Win the percentage game with Angel Oak Prime Bridge. Whether it's fix and flips as low as 8% or landlord financing starting at 5.5%, Angel Oak Prime Bridge wins with a customer-focused approach to your business. Go to aopbconnect.com to see how you can win at the percentage game with Angel Oak Prime Bridge. And introducing our new wholesale partner program available at aopbconnect.com. The secret to winning at the percentage game. The key to success in any industry is having a network of skilled professionals who can help you do your job effectively. The American Association of Private Lenders believes that with better resources, you get better results. By visiting the American Association of Private Lenders website, you will find the resources to put more deals together, but better deals. Who doesn't want to improve their bottom line? To find a credible private lending professional, visit aaplonline.com today.
We're back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Abhi Golhar.
Think Realty Nation, it's Abhi Golhar. Welcome back to Think Realty Radio. My guest, Scott Lewis from Spartan Investment Group, is on the air with us. We're talking about self-storage, and we're going to finish off the last 10 minutes of Think Realty Radio talking about some trends that he's seen in the market that he wants you to know about. And then, of course, you know, we talk about the bubble, the real estate bubble, and then the pending doom and the recession that's going to happen in 2 months. And should people be worried about this? Let's talk about that in a little bit as well. Scott, let's keep the conversation going. You guys settled on self-storage for a variety of reasons. You talked about that. So if you are just joining us and you missed that super, super important segment, go to thinkrealtyradio.com, search for Scott Lewis, hit play, and go to maybe about like the 35, 36-minute mark. And that's exactly where, roughly where Scott will share why they settled on self-storage instead of some of the other types of opportunities like multifamily that a lot of syndicators go after. All right, Scott, question. Proven growth with self-storage. I mean, it makes sense, right? People have to store their stuff somewhere. But is there enough of a trend line here for me as an investor to be like, here's my money, like, let's invest, let's go make this happen?
So I there definitely is. Now, when you start digging into the asset class, you will see articles out there that says storage is being overbuilt. Now, that's an interesting way to look at it. And you can't, you know, very similar to residential, you can't look at it from a macro market perspective. So storage has a very interesting market analysis, which is people don't want to drive very far to get their stuff. And in fact, in urban environments, it can be up to a 1 mile micro market. And in fact, you know, there's another kind of podcast out there that's called 3 mile domination. And it drives that home that really your market for storage is approximately 1, 3, and 5 mile radius from your site. If you're in an urban area, if you're in a rural area, it gets a little bit different and a little bit harder to assess the demand for storage. But what we found is, yes, some of the major MSAs out there, like Denver particularly, is probably overbuilt from a holistic look. However, if you were to be able to decompose Denver to all of its micro 1 mile markets, you could probably still find a 1 or 3 mile radius somewhere in Denver or the close suburbs that is underserved for storage. It would be hard at this point because many of the real estate investment trusts like Public or Extra Space are dominating the market. So you really don't want to go toe to toe with them if you're in my shoes. But from an investor standpoint, guys like me are looking in secondary and tertiary markets that still have room to run.
Yep.
We're looking for those cities that are, the spark has just been ignited. They're overlooked, but they're ready to grow. And we're finding deals in those cities that are underserved because for whatever reason, population is growing. In some of the cities we're looking at, they're maybe 50 miles or so outside of a major MSA. And that MSA has experienced major growth. So it's pushing folks to the periphery because they want to live in more affordable areas. So they're moving out, quote unquote, to the suburbs.
Yep.
Well, as those suburbs start to get more populated, that drives even more demand for storage.
So you mentioned something very interesting, right? The secondary markets and the tertiary markets. Are these markets just overlooked by investors right now? I talk about it on Think Realty Radio all the time on the show because that's where I feel the opportunity is for, say, single family or multifamily. But I didn't know that's also where I should be looking for, say, self-storage.
Whether they're overlooked or not, I think is a matter of perspective. For your investors that are looking for core and core plus deals that are producing returns from 4 to 8%, absolutely they're overlooked. Okay. Because secondary and tertiary markets are more risky. So what we're seeing is we're looking for value investors that are going out after the 14 to 16% returns or whatever folks are offering in that kind of the range or the development areas of the high 20s for returns, they're looking for those. So those markets are not overlooked at those investors that are looking for value add, and they're willing to take a little bit more risk because they're chasing that yield that those secondary and tertiary markets can produce because of those risk-adjusted returns.
So break that down into, like, business owner, entrepreneur, non-real estate investor English for me. What did you just say?
So the investors, and it can come from any age group, but most investors that are chasing value add deals probably aren't in their late 70s. They're younger folks, and I'm being incredibly broad here. There's obviously a lot of difference, but folks that are looking to make more money on their money, and they're okay with a little bit of risk. Maybe not even a little bit in some cases, maybe a lot of risk. Those are where the secondary and tertiary markets are where you can still make good returns that are above your normal stock market return if you just plop it down in an S&P index fund.
Yeah.
And it's in those secondary markets and tertiary markets that the yields that are on par or your return on your investment is on par with a value add, which is a little bit more risky deal that is, in the mid-teens.
Yep.
For your return versus, if you're investing in a Class A multifamily in downtown Denver,
right,
you're not going to be in the mid-teens unless it's a development play.
Right.
But most likely, and then it wouldn't be, it wouldn't be a core deal. It would be an opportunistic deal. So that's kind of what I mean by that.
Got it. Thank you for the explanation. That's very, very clear. From a trend perspective, okay, where the housing market is right now, everybody, like you look at media, and I feel like they're just writing this for the headlines, right? Housing market is going down. And my favorite illustration is like the big red arrow with the jaggedy edge pointed downward, and like the thickness of the arrow isn't like a one pixel. It's like bold and like big, and the entire axis is like skewed to make the arrow look longer and larger than it is. And they're saying, well, we have a bubble. We have an affordability crisis, right? Like nobody can afford homes right now. Well, that's not true. Interest rates are like the lowest ever, so that doesn't make any sense. And even if they couldn't afford homes, that's good for the real estate investors to begin with. Where do you think What do you think, first of all, do we have a bubble? Is this like recession happening in the next couple of months? Should I be worried? Should I be like putting all my money in something like gold or Bitcoin?
Well, so I put some money in cryptocurrency and I've lost 85% over the last year.
Woo! Yes! Good job. Good job, Scott.
Yeah, so I'm not doing anything else other than real estate because... So, I mean, if you... if you were the guy that was bad at like buying drugs in like the early 2000s and you had to pay with Bitcoin, then like then you and because you were stoned all the time, you forgot about it. Like this is actually a true story that was told to us by one of our investors, and you forgot about it. And now like now it's in the news and you look and it's worth $6 million. Like fantastic investment strategy. Not for me. As far as going back to whether it's a real estate bubble or not, I'll be completely honest. I don't really follow the residential trends because it doesn't have a huge impact to us. Because if there is a bubble and it comes crashing down, then, you know, there's going to be folks that lose their homes. It's an inevitable fact. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, we can almost, I don't want to say profit from it or even benefit from it because that's pretty negative, but storage will go up. Because when people have to downsize, there's a psychological phenomenon called loss aversion. I shouldn't say phenomenon, theory, called loss aversion. People want to hang on to their stuff and they're very loath to get rid of it. Well, what do you do if you're in a 4-bedroom house that unfortunately you no longer can occupy and you've got to move to a 2-bedroom apartment? Well, what do you do with that? Well, you put it in storage. That's right. What happens. When the recession hits, some businesses also are going to get hit. It's really unfortunate, but they have equipment and they know, smart businesses know that they may have to right size during a recession or downturn,
yep.
But eventually it will come up and they put that stuff in storage.
Gotcha. Well, Scott, I wish we had more time, but that's the show. Thanks so much for joining me. It was awesome connecting with you. Thank you so much for your insights.
Thank you very much. And I very much appreciate the opportunity to be on.
Hey, likewise, Scott, thanks so much for the time. Get in touch with Scott at scott@spartan-investors.com. All right, we got to go. Until next time, happy investing.
The show is over, but Abhi's expertise is available for you 24/7 at thinkrealtyradio.com. Videos, articles, podcasts, insights, everything you need to create more for your future right at your fingertips. Think Realty Radio. A real estate of mind. Online at thinkrealtyradio.com.